Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. In a very public way, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has demanded the Biden administration give him the tools to finish the job in Gaza. Is this a demand to finish the genocide? Again, this sounds like a blank check to cross any and all red lines. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. In Marseille, we have Elijah Magnier. He is a veteran war correspondent and political analyst. And in Reston, we cross to Michael Malouf. He is a former Pentagon senior security policy analyst. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Elijah, let me go to you first in Marseille. We had this very bizarre video coming out from the Israeli prime minister. I've never seen anything quite like it, demanding that the United States do something for Israel and basically saying there'll be consequences. It was very threatening. And I'm going to ask Lionel later how that's going to be turned into a GOP ad. But what does it mean to finish the job? For me, that is quite ominous. Go ahead in Marseille.
Thank you for having me. First of all, this speech was in English.
Right.
Therefore, it was directed to the English speakers, and in this case, the United States of America. Secondly, Benjamin Netanyahu has been given plenty of time to finish the war in Gaza from the first beginning when President Biden and then followed by Secretary Antony Blinken to support Israel unconditionally. And the Americans started to talk only after 3 to 4 months when the Israelis were not finishing the job, were not reaching their objectives to defeat Hamas and to free all the captives. And until today, we heard also the spokesperson of the Israeli military, right, Admiral Daniel Hagari, saying, we cannot defeat Hamas. This is an ideology, it's an idea, it's a party attacking all the objectives and dismantling Benjamin Netanyahu's objective. For the first time since 1948, we see this friction between the army and the political leadership, who are trying to blame the army for the failure, and the army is saying, well, no, you gave us objectives that are unachievable. And now the Americans are trying to help Israel even further when Joe Biden is asking Benjamin Netanyahu to stop the war because there are other ways to defeat Hamas. He means by reconstruction, humanitarian aid, because Benjamin Netanyahu has failed to reach the objective, and the only thing he's managing is to kill children, women, destroy the infrastructure in Gaza, and destroy all the United Nations, EU building, and everything.
And we're going to talk later in threatening an opening of a new front up north against Hezbollah. Michael, I'm glad Elijah brought us there because we think of the northern front, the Gaza front, but there's another front here. It's called the Israel-U.S. front right now, because this is an affront that we got from the Israelis. And it really is really quite telling because after, 9 months now, the Biden administration has never said no to Israel. It's not going to say no now also. This is a war that Biden desperately, desperately needs to come to an end. And his partner in crime, the Prime Minister of Israel, isn't going to help him at all. Netanyahu stabs people in the back left and right. He doesn't care. He's most concerned with his political survival and the survival of Zionism. Michael.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you there, because Netanyahu has really put the Biden administration in a headlock. It has no choice. And unfortunately, we're approaching this election time, and there's no way that the United States at this point conceivably can just abruptly stop any assistance to the Israelis. It will create quite a firestorm, I think, particularly in Congress and among Jewish supporters in the United States, or what's left of them. But the reality is that Netanyahu has every intention of plodding along, no matter whether or not the United States is going to give any support. And he's made that very, very clear. And in fact, by talking about imminent attacks up north, which is really of concern to me, is something that I'm watching very carefully, and I think it will absolutely widen this this conflict into a regional matter, and that's what we have to avoid. All that Biden is doing, Biden needs to just stop what he's doing right now and quit providing the arms, any arms, and really become firm with. But look, Biden is not in control. Biden is not in control of Israel. He's not even in control of his own administration.
Right.
He is the puppet. We saw that the other night when Obama led him off the stage, taking him by the arm to guide him off. He is Obama's puppet. And Biden is not in control of events. He doesn't run this administration. It's the people behind the scenes, and this is what makes it more dangerous. They are the faceless leaders that we're having to contend with, and that no one is held accountable as a consequence.
Yes, and the longer it goes on, the more consequences there'll be for everyone involved.
Yes.
In the going forward. And I'm thinking about international judicial proceedings against these people, which I hope will happen. I doubt it will. But I always kind of look forward to seeing Anthony Blinken in an orange jumpsuit. But we'll see. Lionel.
Good luck.
Good luck. Lionel, going back to Netanyahu's video presentation, did he cut this for Donald Trump in his campaign? Because I can guarantee you that this is going to be edited and it's going to be played for the next few months before the general election. Because and I think it's quite despicable, but I think, you know, this is dirty politics and they're going to use it. Netanyahu is a willing participant in all of this. Lionel.
First, we use this term, the U.S. and Israel. It's Netanyahu. We talk about this monolithic, this unified, everybody thinks in lockstep. It's Netanyahu. That's number one. Number two, why in the name of God did he come out with this ham-fisted approach when he was going to get it anyway?
Yeah.
That was to send a message either to his allies or his those questioning him in Israel or to his American contingent or somebody. I would have told him, you don't have to make any statement. Just be quiet. The Democrats are this far away. And not only that, a little behind the scenes. The person that you one time humiliated, who happens to be running the show in many respects, is Obama. He'll never forget what you did. Never. And now there's a talk about moving Biden around, which I have been talking about for now 7 years. But believe it or not, as Obama is more and more moving, and remember the old contingent of Victoria Nuland's out, we have a new wave of people trying to re-solidify. Remember, Peter, as we said, it's the Great Reset. Nothing is the same. Everything has changed, everything. So you have to ask yourself, what are you doing? And people who never so much as cared a lick about what was happening in Israel, now they're saying, you let this guy talk to us about this. Even Zelensky was at least polite. He acted, thank you, America. Zelensky knew how to do it, hat in hand. He, thank you very much. We're on the same team. He never threatened you. He never said, well, I mean,
Lionel, I don't think Zelensky was twitching his nose so much at his last public appearance. I think he has something else on his mind. Elijah, you know, Lebanon is very much front and center, as Michael has pointed out here. And we had the U.S. envoy just in Beirut. I mean, it was astounding to me. Here's a quote-unquote mediator, and at the end he says, if Israel attacks Lebanon, we will be supporting Israel. What kind of mediator says something like that? I mean, it's just, you know, diplomacy is just disappeared from this administration. Go ahead, in Marseille.
We have seen Hochstein, Amos Hochstein, from the first day he landed, because he went three times to Lebanon for this kind of supposedly mediation. For the first time, he came and he said, I'm here to listen. The second time, he said, what about stopping the war in exchange of a deal that we can start? And Hezbollah said, not interested, go and stop the war in Gaza. And the last time he went is just to say, well, the Israelis are increasing the threat, but I understand that your intention is not to stop unless the war in Gaza, we have an increase of potentiality of a war, and we don't know where this is going to go. So this is not a mediator, as you rightly said. He is someone who's showing how the U.S. administration is just following Benjamin Netanyahu wherever he wants them to go. And he is the one who understands very well that the differences between an Israeli prime minister and an American president doesn't change anything in the strategic American support to Israel, because this is not the first time that Benjamin Netanyahu clashes with a Democrat president. This is the third time, Clinton, Obama, and now Biden. Well, so for Lebanon, it's a completely different game here, because Lebanon is not an open air concentration camp. Lebanon is supplied by the most sophisticated weapons. It has a production line of weaponry, or the most modern one. And also, it has very experienced and trained people who have fought in Syria and in Iraq on more than 80,000 square kilometers. And they have a city under the ground that Gaza's tunnels look like a joke. And this is why, for 9 months, Israel did not dare to attack Lebanon more than where Hezbollah has set the limits. And when Daniel Hagari came out and said Hezbollah launched 5,000 rocket, missile, and drone against Israel, Hezbollah has given 5,000 reasons for Israel to start a war, and it didn't. And now, because it is a Netanyahu's war, Netanyahu doesn't have many options if he needs to stop the war in Gaza because he failed in his objectives, and now the army doesn't know what to do next. Yep. They went to the north, they went to the south, they went to Rafah, back to the north, back to the south, still in Rafah, and now all they right. have...
Elijah, I have to jump in here. Gentlemen, we're going to go to a hard break, and after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. Stay with RT.
Truths seem wrong, when old rules just don't hold, and a new world is yet to shape out, disdain becomes the etiquette, and engagement equals betrayal. When so many find themselves worlds apart, we choose to look for common ground.
Sick? Off of what? Dope? You gotta get better. You ain't go to the hospital yet? What you need the dope? To help you?
Damn, bro. Shit sad, bro.
I mean, what can they do? Lock up the people that are drug addicts? Because going cold turkey is like going through withdrawals, and a lot of these drugs go through withdrawals. Giving them money would kill them. So you just gotta give them food.
Yeah, this is how we live, because government don't want to give us no money. Not us, periodically, but truly getting worse and worse every year and as we go.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. Okay, let's go back to Michael. You know, Michael, it was already brought up in this program, at least the perception that there is a rift going on between the IDF and the government itself. We always have to be very, very careful. Sometimes they want to fake us out, and we always catch them out when they try it. But nonetheless, on all counts, there's failure with Israeli policy. They haven't gotten rid of Hamas. Now they're admitting, after, what, almost 9 months, that they can't destroy it. That's really an amazing admission here. The hostages are still there, and Hezbollah has made it very clear that if Israel wants a fight, it will step up to the plate. And we had Israel attacked for the first time by Iran. And the reaction to that was quite muted. Maybe the reaction is still coming, but this is where we stand right now. What my point is here is that for every failure of the Netanyahu government, it is a failure of the Biden government as well. Michael.
No, I absolutely agree. And as long as the United States, as we pointed out earlier, continues to supply the arms, that Netanyahu feels he has a green card to continue doing this. If we stop it, it's going to impair him. Now, as you point out, Netanyahu has problems dealing with Hamas. What do you think his chances are going to be against Hezbollah? It's going to be outrageous. Now, what's interesting is that Hezbollah just released a video showing a drone flying over Haifa undetected. And I think that was a signal.
Well, and Michael, in reference to that video, the video had superimposed on top of it the description of installations that the video was actually looking at. So they know what they're looking at. I'm sorry, keep going.
Yes. No, that's true. I mean, this was, to me, a message by Nasrallah to Netanyahu. We've got your number. If you want to escalate, which you have promised to do, and Gallant has done the same thing, then we're ready for you. I just had a text from a friend of mine who has a home in southern Lebanon, which was bombed just yesterday. And she, in reaction to what Nasrallah said, she said, bring it on, because they're ready. And they are united, it seems, between Hezbollah and the Lebanese army, which she said, admits doesn't have much. But the point is that the Lebanese people now are united, and that's what's key against Israel. And I think that Saeed Nasrallah has shown restraint and by releasing that film, and he promises to send other films out, release other films to show to the Israelis and to the Israeli people that they have that capability undetected. Now, Biden administration just doesn't get it. They launched Hochstein, who is useless, and he absolutely showed his colors by pointing out that he would back Israel, as was pointed out, and he might as well just stay home. These our so-called diplomats, which I have high question about, just have not shown any imagination, any creativity. They haven't been blunt whatsoever with Netanyahu. In fact, Hochstein had just visited Netanyahu before he went to Lebanon. So he got his marching orders in effect and got his talking points from Netanyahu in order to present to the Lebanese. And I think that this really is a failure of
it's of one catastrophic failure it's another. It's truly astounding to observe. You know, Lionel, I guess Joe Biden is running as a war president because of what we've been just talking about. There's a tripwire when it comes to Hezbollah. I mean, this is going to be a regional war, and the United States is going to be in the thick of it. How aware, because you're in the fishbowl, that's what you're here for, how aware of the American people, how close we are to being involved in another major regional war? Lionel.
Well, I've never seen anything like this, gentlemen, like I'm seeing now. For the longest time, the stalwarts, the base of the Democratic Party were, and I'm going to use terms that make no sense, young, liberal, hip, educated, the usual suspects. Climate change, they were there. They were there. They were just assumed. We are there for you. Okay. All of a sudden now, enter new platforms, digital media, the internet. You cannot even you can't even quantify the immense impact this is. People who 9 months ago, didn't know where Gaza from a hole in the ground, which is a terrible expression because right now it's turning into a hole in the ground. Yep. All of a sudden are talking about things, but Peter, not just what's going on now, but the history. The word, I have never heard the word Zionism mentioned half as much.
That's right.
So you have this, because remember, if you're in the fishbowl here and you focus on the regular cable news world, you'll think everything's groovy. If you look at what the world is watching and what young people are watching, you have, it may not be now, but you are creating a new iteration, a new generation that has completely changed the political calculus when it comes to Middle East and what's going on right now. And they don't know what to do because they've assumed that all of these favored demographics throughout the years would always be there. Well, guess what? It's a new world. It's a new platform and a new time. And they are going to be very surprised what happens as how angry these people are and how they're going to vote either not necessarily for Trump, but not even showing up. Watch what happens.
You know, Elijah, it's really interesting that, you know, the anger that Lionel has expressed here about how people are reacting to this conflict. But that's how the region has felt for a very long time. I mean, it's finally waking up to seeing how, you know, how many times has Israel violated Lebanese airspace, Syrian airspace, attacked scientists in Iran? And it's all with American backing. But now you have this genocide, which you can't hide from. I mean, you have to stick your head in the ground now. You can't hide from it. It's in everyone's face right now. And, you know, the region itself has changed a lot. Lionel was saying, you know, the demographics the Democrats could always rely on. But the Middle East has changed immensely, too. Hezbollah is a potent force. Go ahead, in Marseille.
Not only that, I absolutely agree with you, but we have suddenly Ansarullah, the Houthis in Yemen, joining in and in control of a maritime passage, one of the most vital passages. And then we hear the Pentagon just a few days ago saying we have managed to stop the Yemeni from stopping us. So we see the poorest country in the Middle East at the equal level of the American and the Navy and the British Navy in the Red Sea, and they are failing to deter the Yemenis. So it is really devastating to see the awareness that is happening in the Middle East and how, in the speech of Said Nasrallah yesterday, he was bringing also the Mediterranean.
Yes.
And he's saying the Mediterranean, watch it because it can be the target. So he's talking about the shore of Palestine and to Gibraltar. What's going to happen to the European economy? What's going to happen to the economy of the world if the Iranians only close the Strait of Hormuz, just as the Houthis participated in the Red Sea and Iran participate only in the maritime passage that they control? Is this what the Americans want? Yes, the awareness today is everywhere and it has started by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres from day one, who said this conflict did not start on the 7th of October, but 50 years ago. And this is what everything has started. And yes, it is true, people today are much more aware of what's happening. They understand in the name of any party, any nation, anything, you cannot continue killing people, pretend to have the most moral army in the world, be a democratic nation, and then say we are on the side of the right, but then United Nations coming out and putting Israel on the same level as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Boko Haram.
You know,
this is where Israel is today.
You know, Michael, most Americans are not even aware of the potential of being brought into a conflict like this. I mean, the way I look at it is that Netanyahu wants the Biden administration to back Israel in its conflict in Lebanon so it can continue the genocide in Gaza. Do I have that right?
That seems to be the case. It appears that even though the United States claims it doesn't want a war with to spread into Lebanon.
Yeah, but it's not going to do anything to stop it either.
I think it's no longer in control. It's no longer in control. That's why Netanyahu is, that's why Nasrallah is now threatening Cyprus, because he knows the Brits will continue funneling goods to Israel through Cyprus, it's going to be a likely target. And that's why this whole thing is going to spread out of control, and it's going to become regional. The United States has got to wake up to the reality that it no longer calls the shots. It is no longer in charge of the rules-based order. It is in free fall. And that's why you're seeing the emergence of a multipolar world order as we talk. And I wouldn't doubt very soon that if Lebanon is attacked, you're going to see Syria come into this, and then you're going to see Turkey. Turkey is going to come in and again against Israel. And then it really will be region-wide in a major way, not to mention the fact that Iran will have already begun if Lebanon is attacked. And that will then really raise the stakes.
Elijah, we have 1 minute. I saw you nodding your head. We have 1 minute. Please finish off the program for us. Go ahead.
I think this war is not going to end as long as Netanyahu is in power. He is giving the power to the far right wing. He is bringing them even closer with the mini government. He is making them the decision makers because he wants to survive. He doesn't have enough support among the opposition Israeli party. But with the video that we've seen coming out of Hezbollah, that was directed to the people in Israel, to the society, telling them, if you keep supporting the warmongers, then this is where you're going to end up, and you're going to be hit in your settlement and in the strongest area that there are, like petrochemical products in Haifa, that is equivalent to the explosion of
the... All right,
the,
on this very pessimistic but very realistic note, gentlemen, we've run out of time. I want to thank my guests in Marseille, New York, and in Reston. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk Rules.